Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, part two of my interview with Sig Rogich, the head of Rogich Communications, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, this is part two of our interview with Sig Rogich. He's the president of Rogich Communications, a presidential advisor going back to Ronald Reagan. And in our last broadcast, we were talking about the White House and the organization of the White House. I was curious. You were one of the Republicans for Reid in Harry Reid's last go-around. Have you talked to Senator Reid lately about the White House and what's going on there?
Well, I've talked to him. I stay in close contact with him. He and I have been friends for 45 years or so. I'm not sure we agree on half of our political views on things, but I really got closer to him when he was in the Senate and he had bills that pertained to Nevada. One was an adjudication of the dispute with the Truckee River and the Pyramid Lake Indians.
25 years was how long that took to resolve.
Well, it was actually 125 years.
Okay, I'm just talking about Reid's portion.
The president was asked to veto that bill by John Sununu and by Barbara Vukanovich as a congresswoman. And I went to the president and said, this bill is almost identical to what Paul Laxalt wrote. And I said, I'm asking you as a Nevadan to sign this bill. It's been in the court systems for decades. You know, how long is how long? Too long. And so he called me down to the office. He had the Interior Secretary there, John Sununu, Barbara, myself. And they all gave their reasons why. And they had legitimate concerns about certain things. But I gave the presentation, and he said, I'm going to vote. I'm in favor of what Sig's saying. So he voted for that. Then, as fate would have it, Reid had another bill, and it had to do with public lands in Nevada. I think the Democrats wanted, I'm going to forget the numbers exactly, but it was one group wanted 800,000 acres. I think Republicans wanted 400,000 acres. The compromise was 6. Again, they were asked to veto it. They thought it was too much. So I figured out it was 0.1% of the real estate in Nevada. I went to the president. My office was, pretty close to his in the West Wing. And I said, this is so ridiculous. And in the art of compromise is finding, middle ground. This is middle ground, 600,000 versus 8 versus 4. So he signed that for me. So those are two things that brought me a little closer to Harry Reid. And those transcended partisan politics, in my opinion. And then later I became very involved with Native Americans, and I helped them a lot in my career. I always believed in them, and I think they've been mistreated. And so I always tried to communicate that to the White House, even with Reagan. Harry Reid and I shared that common belief. When he ran against Sharon Engel, we were in deep, deep negotiations for water rights and for renegotiating some early parts of the Colorado River Compact. It had been in place since the early 1800s. At the table were Arizona and John McCain. He was deeply involved personally. Orrin Hatch was there from Utah, two power power players in the Senate. Barbara Boxer was there, and Dianne Feinstein from California, two more important, powerful senators. And Bill Richardson was representing New Mexico, you know, as a former governor. And we had Reed. We had the guy that was the most powerful man in the United States Senate, and I thought to give that up and maybe put Sharon Engel at the table would be dangerous for our state, because if they took 1% reallocation of water away here from southern Nevada, we would have a crisis. And if we have a crisis in southern Nevada, we have a crisis all over the state. As the south goes, the north goes, and the rural areas go. This is the engine that keeps the state alive.
Absolutely. And last year, when the Chamber of Commerce, the Metro Chamber of Commerce, went to D.C., Senator Reid addressed them, and I was there. And he said, the most important thing you can do is get that pipeline built from northeastern Nevada down to Las Vegas, because that water is far more valuable, flushing, and I'm quoting here, flushing toilets on the strip than growing alfalfa.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to define it that way, but I will tell you that...
He shocked me that he was that strong.
Sam, as Las Vegas goes today, because of the population base and the need for resources and funds that we provide with taxes, so goes the rest of the state. If you have a depression in tourism here that doesn't affect you directly in northern Nevada, but it has a real effect on what we can do here, it's going to have a trickle-down effect that's, or in this case, trickle-up effect that's going to have some devastation in terms of educational funding, university funding, law enforcement, all highways, you know, transportation. Everything comes into play here when southern Nevada goes into a downturn.
Well, and at this point in time, it looks as though southern Nevada, along with northern Nevada, is at the beginning of a huge upswing with Genting, hiring a construction manager for the former Echelon
yes.
site. That's very exciting that they say there'll be cranes up within the next couple of months. You represent them, I believe, still.
Yes.
What can you share with us about the project?
Well, it was delayed because of some unforeseen things. First of all, the currency in Malaysia, where they're from, was devaluated by close to 10%. So it took all of a sudden it wiped $300 or $400 million off of their ability to do things.
And they're a huge company.
They're the only investment grade gaming company in the world. They don't have really any debt, and they probably have $15 or $20 billion cash in the bank. It's an unbelievable position to be in, and they own a lot of things beyond gaming. They own Crystal cruise ship lines, and I just went to a dedication of a brand new, I think, 787 Dreamliner that they had built for them for their to complement their cruise lines. They own real estate everywhere. They're involved in science and medicine, and they will build a great property here. It's their nature. They hired Bill Richardson, a friend of ours. We recommended him heavily, I'm proud to say. We have worked with him in the past, so he's going to be their general construction supervisor and general contractor, if you will. And I think they'll build a great product. So you add that to what's happening across the street at Fontainebleau. You know, you saw that others have picked that up. And all of a sudden, the north end of the strip becomes a different animal. Steve Wynn is building a $1.4 or $1.5 billion project in his backyard with a lake, getting rid of the golf course and building cabanas and convention hall and all of that. And we've worked with him a little bit on the convention hall. And when it all comes together, you know, it's another boom in southern Nevada.
Well, and it's obvious that the convention business at this point in time for Las Vegas has become the huge driving factor, because it fills the rooms during the week. It's people spending higher dollars for the rooms.
That's right.
It just seems to be a win-win.
Well, it is. You know, that's how Sheldon Adelson made his money, if you think about it. You know, he sold that, what was it?
Comdex,
you know, for $900 million or something. And that set the stage for everything he did thereafter. You know, going public with Sands and Macau and all that goes with it. So conventions are the lifeblood these days. You know, it used to be gaming was the number one reason people came here, and it was the number one source of revenue here. Now I think it's fourth or fifth.
Yeah, it's around 32%.
Yeah, rooms and food are number one. Retail is number two. Entertainment is number three. I can't remember all the stuff. And then comes gaming. You know, so the world's changed. And there's 40-some states with gaming in it, and the competition's different, and it's going to continue to be that way.
All right, let's take a break. More with Sig Rogich when we come back.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Sig Rogich. We're talking about the north end of the strip and the development there. We should also throw in that the Stratosphere has changed hands, that Golden Gaming, by the time this airs, will have gotten their licensing through the Gaming Commission as well as the Gaming Control Board.
That's right.
And then the Morello Group that operates the Grand Sierra Resort in Reno has purchased the SLS. So, I mean, there's really an incredible amount going on.
There is. You know, I think one of the great things that's gone on is the rebirth of downtown Las Vegas. What's happened in Las Vegas downtown has happened in other great cities. Chicago, Baltimore is a good example, you know, St. Louis. When the inner cities got old, you know, that the baby boomers moved out. And now they're, you know, and over time they all came, their children came back in. So that's what's happening here, and I think it's revitalized cities. It's created better streets and highways, better living conditions, new businesses, and it's revitalized the core and the essence and the historical, you know, back city, everything you expect to see in a state, all those things have come back in play again. So that's what's happened downtown. That set the stage for a lot of the rebirth we had. And it's moving right down the strip there on that north end from both sides.
And in the downtown area, a lot of individual entrepreneurs. So what we saw on the strip in the original days, we're now seeing repeated, like Derek Stevens, for example, all the properties that he's opening up. I mean, it's just phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. And I've seen some plans for properties that are going to be built downtown that are unbelievable. So we've got, what, 42 or 43 million visitors here. You know, we're going to get to 50. Things are not going to stay the same. We've got to figure out how to get people in here and out of here. You know, we've got to figure out how to get the surface streets done properly. We made some mistakes along the way. I don't think we planned our town to grow like this, like you saw with Phoenix, for example, which in my opinion is one of the better planned cities in America. But if you drive on the surface streets here in Las Vegas, Sahara, Tropicana, Flamingo, Charleston, you can't get across town. And you can't get across town because of the traffic is so intense, and they can't build out because there's no real estate. We allowed, with bad zoning, bad entitlements, we allowed people to build up on the curb. And I think that's one of the great mistakes we made down here. We're going to pay the price for it, and I think we did the same thing on the Strip. I think when, God bless him, I think Steve Wynn's done a lot of great things for this town, but I think that we made a big mistake allowing Treasure Island to build on the sidewalk because it took a lot away from our ability to do carve-outs for buses to add another lane. I don't think we should have ever allowed that to happen.
Was it a mistake not to put the monorail down the center of the strip?
Well, I'm not sure it was. You know, the cost of doing it would have been extraordinary. Plus, it would have looked like a big concrete mess. I think at one time, I ran a campaign against it, by the way, years ago, and I figured out how much concrete was going to be used. It was as much as Hoover Dam. So I had Murray Westgate. Do you remember Murray?
Yes.
He was an announcer. I had him do the commercial for me, and he stood in front of Hoover Dam with a long shot, and he said, "The people who want to build a monorail are going to put as much concrete on the strip as we have on this dam behind me here at Hoover Dam." Anyway, we killed it, so.
But I'm presuming you're in favor of its extension to Mandalay Bay and potentially the airport?
I think so. I think it's the only way we can move people, you know. I don't think the train is dead here either, the high-speed train, by any stretch. So that'll come into play again, I think.
All right, let's take a break. We got one more segment with you. Let's talk about the train. We'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Sig Rogich, the president of Rogich Communications. You brought up high-speed rail. It just seems that it is such a big piece to bite off. But I do understand. Tony Marnell put out a piece from the Nevada Resort Association where he talked about it, the Rio, when they checked their Players Club card addresses, that there were so many people that were coming from the Inland Empire, and that's about an hour away from Victorville. And so it actually is a realistic thing for bringing people to Las Vegas to not have to drive that long drive.
Hey, there's no question. You get stuck on the I-15, it's 10 hours sometimes. You know, I've been there. If there's an accident or something that stops the traffic. I think you've got every major freeway in Southern California, and I'm not sure how many there are, but let's just say there's a dozen or two dozen. They all come into one place called Victorville. And Victorville is the first stop of what would be an extension then to Palmdale. It's only 50 miles away. That hooks into the, and Palmdale has become a major hub for the whole high-speed train system in California. I think once that happens, and I think it will eventually, I think you're going to see high-speed rail then from Phoenix. It's a direct shot to Palmdale, from Salt Lake into Phoenix and Salt Lake here. I think it'll be transformational for the West.
Do you think it's 30 years from now?
No, I don't think 30 years at all. I think it's probably 5 to 8 years from now. You're going to see this thing called industry, this new industry called high-speed rail, start to develop.
The government can't be involved at this point because the trains have to be made in America, and we don't have American train manufacturers for high-speed rail. So is that rule going to be changed, or are we going to start to see manufacturing here in this country?
Well, you're very up-to-date on that. It's, first of all, it wasn't a firm rule. They have what they call railroad infrastructure funds, RIF funds, and I think that's more than $40 billion that's sitting there, and it gets funded every year. It goes way back to, you know, the first part of the George W. Bush administration. And the only ones that really benefit from it now are Amtrak. But they give low-cost loans, low-interest loans, for high-speed rail. That's what it's designated for. They thought that they had to have everything manufactured in the United States, they meaning the White House, the Obama White House. But no one was building it, and they didn't want China to build it. Well, China's got the rolling stock over there ready to go. They can build it cheaper, faster, and better. They're the best train builders now in the world. They didn't used to be. It used to be Japan and Switzerland, you know, in those areas. And you'd go through those great, great high-speed trains and see them. But now it's all China. And they're building the next wave of trains will travel 350 miles an hour.
Wow.
And their goal is 500 miles an hour. And if you've ever ridden on those trains, and I have several times in China, they're extraordinary. I mean, every seat is like a first-class seat. You know, you can stretch out and lay out and go to sleep and have great, you know, services at your disposal. So I think it's a whole new industry, and I think you're going to see it a lot. There's no place to build and add onto freeways. And keep in mind, the big thing, too, if we're trying to cut down on emissions, you put a train in play that's all electric, and it eliminates, you know, 24 new lanes of highway that would otherwise have to come into play. And that means, you know, millions, tens of millions of cars would stay off the road because they're taking the high-speed trains.
So you believe the Trump administration can change this so that we will be able to tap into those funds?
I think they can, yes. But I think you might find, you know, that whoever comes aboard might build it themselves.
Really, private funding?
Private, maybe other governments. China is a natural, of course, so is Japan.
So it would be a public-private partnership, but with a foreign government?
I think it's that's still a work in motion, but I think you'll probably see some things like that occur, yes.
That would be very exciting. I mean, well, it's so frustrating for me to look at these other countries and their high-speed rail and that we don't have it in this country.
It's unbelievable. Well, you know what? You know how long it took just to get the environmental impact statement? Tony Marnell probably spent more than $50 million $50 million of private money, so that's close to $100 million of money they had to earn just to spend it on this. And he had to go through, I think, 21 different agencies. He had to go through the state of California, the state of Nevada, the Railroad Infrastructure Fund, the Department of Interior, the BLM, the Mojave Desert Committee, the Sierra Club. It went on and on and on and on. Finally, he got approval from the Surface Transportation Board, which is the most powerful entity of its kind ever put together in America for high speed for trains. And he's got all these things done, but it took 12 years to get there. How can you possibly, by then, you know, what you design is going to be, you know,
obsolete.
So you got to go back to new, a little variation in engineering and a lot of other things that I'm not familiar with, you know, just technically speaking.
Well, I have a list of political questions that we're not going to get to today because we're out of time and we've done two shows with you.
Okay.
I thank you for so much of your time today and look forward to having you back on. And
me
so,
too. I'm always happy to be with you, Sam. Thanks
thank
for
you.
Everything.
It's a pleasure. Sig Rogich, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
As always, you can download podcasts of Nevada Newsmakers free of charge from iTunes. It's a great way to keep up with the show. We'll see you on the next broadcast.